Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Here Be Monsters Radio in production with Aaron Martifale. And so PNN is there too because he's here this evening. Welcome
to women.
Our harvest season. This is a Maybon or autumn equinox focused ceremony. And you know, Rick, and in our longitude and latitude where we are right now, we're not that far away from each other. What a degree.
Absolutely.
It's actually equinox for us today. So, it does, and it really invests us in the harvest season. And tonight we're going to celebrate that season, heading towards Samhain. With an on-air ceremony with our Circle of Light, with Ruth Ann and Mark Feo and Stan Klein and Rick Spizak and myself. I'm Gwen Berry. And that's our introduction. Usually now Ra takes over.
Well, I was going to say, if we were in physical space together, I thought, because this is the second harvest, and I don't know, I think more like brooms and things for decoration too, we would pass around a broom and sweep our own little space and, you know, pass it on to somebody else to cast our circle. So I just want to suggest that we do this, we visualize it. Or, you know, if you're handy, you have your broom handy, just do it physically. But sweep around yourself. Sweep out from the circle, out behind you, so that we have a clean space all around us. Because we cast the circle not to keep things out, although it will do that, but also to keep our energy in, to keep our focus in. So let's just take the time to virtually do a little sweeping. And the circle is cast now. So we're going to call in our elements, starting with Stan.
Good evening. As I face the east, I call to the spirits of air, to the gods and goddesses that bring us the air, on which comes the elements all creatures on this planet need to live, brought to us on the air. I thank the gods and goddesses and spirits of the element of air for the knowledge they bring with themselves as well. So I am asking this night that they join us in our circle, in our spirit, in our festivity. And I ask them that they join us now. Hail and welcome.
Hail and welcome.
Hail and welcome.
Turning to the south. Fire elements and invisibles from the south, we call for you to join us in our circle now, bringing passion and warmth. And we say hail and welcome.
Hail and welcome.
Hail and welcome.
Out of and into the west, I call on Gabriel, the angel of the west, our watchtower, and the elements of the water, the undines, that bridge us between worlds and sustain us in life, and have been the strongest voice of our earth mother at this time. I ask them to join us and to hold the standard of the West for us. please hold our circle. Hail and welcome.
Hail and welcome.
And welcome.
In the north and the earth, I call upon the earth to welcome. We have called upon thee in the name of the planter. We have called upon thee in thy name of the gardener. We call upon thee now in the name of the harvester. We call upon you to witness this miracle of the harvest, of the nurturer who fills the harvest in thy bounteous ways. We of the circle call upon thee to bless this circle's harvest. We call upon thy bounty at this time of harvest, that thou might bless the fields and the forests and the city in thy fullness. It is thy will that these circle weavers prosper, and we celebrate thy fullness in this corner of time. We call upon thee in all thy ways as the planter, the nurturer, the corner of time, the great and infinite harvester, whose strong brown arms swings the reaping scythe in its arc, and thy vast bounty reigns upon the circle in its joy. Hail and welcome.
Hail and welcome.
Now our invocations to the God and Goddess and Ancestors.
Gods and goddesses, many things I beheld mediate and immediate, but beholding them no more, I beheld thee. All day I sing of thy delight, all night I delight in thy song. O, art thou beyond the day and the night? I am thyself, O my maker, my master, my mate. I am like the little red dog that sitteth upon the knee of the unknown. Thou hast brought me into great delight. Thou hast given me of thy flesh to eat and of thy blood for an offering of intoxication. Thou hast fastened thy fangs of eternity in my soul, and the poison of the infinite hath consumed me utterly. Behold, I am a butterfly at the source of creation. Let me die before the hour, falling dead into thine infinite stream. I have gone down, O my God, into the abyss of all, and have found thee in the midst, under the guise of no thing. All the gods, all the goddesses, we welcome.
So mote it be.
So mote it be.
So mote it be.
Wow. I call on our ancestors and join in mine. My mother's mother's mothers, my father's father's fathers. And at this time, I'd like to mention a few of our grandparents' names. Names like Mother Isis and Yemaya, Aphrodite, Anuket, Ganja, the Lady of the Lake, Oshun, and our grandfathers like Poseidon, Manan, and MacLear, Olokun, all of them tied to the element of water, which has been such a strong voice right now. I call our ancestors to come gather with us in this space, in this circle, to help us celebrate the harvest season.
So
mote it be.
We have a meditation.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome. My name is Stan, and I will be taking us on a guided meditation this evening. I would like you to all snuggle down, get comfortable, lean up against your favorite wall, sit in your favorite chair, flop on the floor, whatever makes you comfortable, because I want you to be comfortable. Now, once you get comfortable, I want us to do a little bit of nice, slow, take-it-all-in breathing. We're going to let go of all the issues that's been bugging us today, all the issues about the storm damage we're recovering from, the political issues, the issues at work, the issues driving home. We're going to let go of all that because we need that to be all gone or you can't get on the train we're going to take. So once you're centered down and settled in, let's start by taking some nice, slow breaths. Breathe in nice and slow. Hold it. Let it go nice and slow. Take a nice, another deep breath in. Hold it. it go. Feel the anxieties of the day melting away. You're in your own place, taking another nice deep cleansing breath. Hold it. Let it go. Feel how much lighter you feel. Not just your body, but your spirit. Now we can go on our journey. I want you all to get nice and centered. Pull yourself in good and comfortable. Center your energy. Close your eyes. Take in another deep breath. Hold it. Let it go. Now, see yourself standing in a full and lush garden, full of various vegetables, grains growing, fruit trees in full bloom, vineyards full of grapes, and marvel at all we have been given. Look at all the wonderful things we have to put on our tables in the coming days. Look at how we've been rewarded for the work we did to grow these things. Now, feel that warm sun, that autumn sun, a light breeze blowing. Oh, here are elements of fire and air helping our garden grow. Isn't that wonderful? Look around and you can smell all the fragrances of all the different vegetables and grains and the fruits. Most wonderful. Now, looking at all this, there's one thing growing here we did not recognize. That is ourselves. For we have been growing all year just like our crops. We have been working on ourselves all year just like our crops. Look inside. Look what you have grown. Rejoice in the things you have brought to fruition. This is a wonderful time. Sit back. Relax. Enjoy the things you're seeing. Walk out in the garden, pick a couple grapes. Maybe pick an apple off the tree. And if you cut that apple, again, you will see a star, which relates all the elements plus spirit, which is what all things require to live and grow. Now, as you look at these, and look within yourself over the coming days, be thankful for what you have reaped. Be thankful for what you have grown. And rejoice in the days to come and future celebrations. Now, I want you to take in a nice deep breath and smell all the fragrances. And as you let that breath out, come back in. Take another nice deep breath. Get yourself good and centered. And then join us back in our ritual. I thank you for being here this evening.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh, that garden. It was making me think. I'll camp this weekend, and one of the guys loves Queen Anne's lace like I do, and he went for a walk and brought some back, and then he was on another walk and he came back with some asters and some of those red honeysuckle berries and a hedge apple for me. So,
whoa.
You know, perfect. And I had not seen a hedge apple for quite some time.
It's
do you all know what those are?
Years since I've seen one.
Yeah.
I used to live in Indiana, so I know what you're talking about.
Well, can you tell me what he brought you again? He brought you the carrot seed or the Queen Anne's lace. What else?
Oh, wait a minute. What did you say about Queen Anne's lace?
Well, as an essential oil, it's carrot seed. But that sounded like a blend. I want it.
Well, I actually ordered some of the the carrot seed oil. My friend said that he had bought some Queen Anne's essential oil, which would have this aroma, but he forgot to bring it. But, yeah. Do you know what a hedge apple is, Gwen?
Is it anything like a crab apple?
No. These are definitely not edible, huh, Stan? Rick,
no,
have you ever
no,
seen
but they're
anything?
Great to throw.
Oh, yeah. They're big. They're about the
like
size
a
of a baseball.
Well, the ones I had in Indiana were more like softballs, Ruthanne. Either that or it was I was a really little kid and had small hands.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this one looked about the size of a baseball, and they have all those bumps like warts all over them, like the almost like cauliflower.
What do they smell?
Or brain. And they're a very pretty, like a lime green, not fluorescent, but just lime. But
a dark
yeah,
brown
if
green.
Somebody threw one of those at you, you would know it.
Yeah, because they weigh about a pound.
Yeah.
But I can't bring the fragrance to memory. What do they smell like?
Those? Hedge apples or Queen Anne's lace?
No,
hedge
I know
apples.
What, Hedge apples,
I don't really know much about their fragrance. I mean, they don't have anything loud and, you know, it's just sort of like the honeysuckle berries. They don't either. They're just beautiful. I don't know. But we had, our aim had been to celebrate Equinox and have a nice fall camp out.
Yeah.
It was so hot. It was in the 90s. And,
the global warming's a hoax.
Well, I mean, I guess that's fall too, right? But we did fix a nice harvest soup for after the ritual and a harvest fruit salad. So we got into that. But
and you didn't save me any.
I didn't save you. I didn't even freeze any for you, Stan, but I'll make some. Yeah. But what did you guys do to celebrate? Or what are you doing to celebrate?
You know what I did to celebrate? I made it through Irma, and I actually have to tell you, all my life I've kind of enjoyed storms, and I wasn't not enjoying that we were having weather because I knew that it was going to clean off the energy of Florida. And some
right.
of the islands. And it did. I have to tell you that I think my celebration of equinox or balance was going up and realizing this is a monster storm. I've never seen one. I don't know, Rick, if you ever have one this size with this kind of spread.
No.
But she wasn't like I remember Andrew. Andrew was a mean little bastard. And that was the energy of that storm. But Irma was like a lady who was coming through with a message. The message seemed to be, here I come, learn. And she was cleaning. She was preparing. And it sounds to me like when I say it, are you crazy? Look what's left in the wreckage. But I also see that the elements that were within her were there to help create new and to bring some harmony that we have lost in the land here because now things have to be addressed. And I think that those realizations are how I kind of found my equinox. This year was in that. It may sound crazy, but
no, it really doesn't because I felt and have been seeing and feeling the same type of effects going on here in the Orlando area. And we were what I'm going to call, and it boggles my mind because we were within 50 miles of the eye, but we had no hurricane damage. I mean, like I said, I went through Hurricane Camille. I was expecting things to be trashed. They
weren't.
It was the weirdest energy as it came through. And yes, it was like it was pulling everything bad out of the way, because there has to be destruction before there can be creation.
Yeah, it really, and that's kind of what it did.
But that's pretty much where I've been wrapped up the last couple of weeks. That and with my own personal health issues, which are seeming to be getting balanced. So it's a good time of the year for me.
Good.
And, you know, but it's yes, this is the strangest energy I've ever felt out of a storm. And
well,
I've been through several.
It really was. Can I ask you, Stan, and you, Rick, we have not, we've only taken down to let a little light in a couple of shutters. We still have the shutters up here. And I've noticed.
Take them down. Take them down.
Why?
Well, Gwen, when you keep the shutters up, it gives any moisture that did get into your house a perfect growing condition.
Right.
And you can have mold develop on you real quick. You need to get the ultraviolet light back into the house.
You're right. You're absolutely right. That's something to consider and talk about this weekend. I noticed.
And I bring this up because here on the local news the other night, they had one of the health department people on talking about this and that it could lead to respiratory problems, especially with people that already had a respiratory problem. So
wow.
You get your shutters down as soon as you could.
Never thought about that.
Well, you know, I've noticed in my neighborhood in Port St. Lucie here, a lot of people have left their shutters down or, you know, on because it's peak. Now we're dwindling, but I don't know, Rick, how are you dealing with it? Shutters on or off? Or?
Well, we took ours down right away. We're fortunate that we have kind of awning folding shutters, so they spring open and spring closed. We have, I kind of compare a lot of this stuff to Andrew. We sold our house down in Florida City and moved up here to the Central Coast. And it's funny, the people who bought our house down in Homestead literally have had the shutters on that house up since we sold it to them. So, that's 13 years. So they kind of live in a very dark cave kind of place. But
goodness.
We opened up. Really, we opened up, and like I said, it's been 13 years. But we opened up right away, and it is our profoundest hope that our friend Irma did what needed to be done to cleanse this area. And you're right, it was a monumental storm, reaching from coast to Florida. It really changed the energy. It really revitalized the coast, coming on the tail of Harvey. I think it made a lot of people far more, aware of nature's power. And that ultimately is a wonderful thing, despite the fact that our brothers and sisters in the Caribbean, our brothers and sisters in Texas, and many in Florida still are paying a very, very heavy price. And I hope that part of our healing ritual here is to give them strength, to give them peace of mind, to give them hope, and let us hope that the good people in our government are going to overcome the inertia of the fools, and that some resources are going to start to go to our brothers and sisters in the Caribbean, and our brothers and sisters in Texas still suffering, and those in Florida still suffering. We speak in a part of the state where power has returned, air conditioning has returned, gas and food has returned, power has returned. But we have to keep in mind and send out that healing and supportive energy, because there are so many to whom those things have not returned. And may they have strength, and may we give them some energy from this healing circle, that they have the stamina and the strength to deal with what they still must deal with.
Yeah.
Hear, hear. I think that's what a lot of people in this country They know, well, just like you were talking, the a lot of the power and everything is returned, and so they aren't even thinking about the people in the islands whose homes are flattened and they have no water to drink. And I mean, what are they going to do? Puerto Rico's U.S. territory. But
here's one thing on Puerto Rico that I would really, while it may sound like I'm being cold, I know there's a lot of people here in Florida trying to get flights to go to Puerto Rico to check on their family, to check on friends. And this is going to sound cold, but I think the governor should restrict all incoming people to emergency service personnel, rescue personnel, and technical personnel. They don't need a bunch more civilians.
In the way.
Well,
and they require more
that,
food and
there's not food and water
supply.
For the people there, so let's bring more people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the people wanting to do it, but in the bigger picture, that's being very selfish.
The crisis, though, Stan, with that is not people wanting to leave Florida to go to San Juan. It's people down here, and I have a dear friend who's still trying to get in touch with her father and brothers, and she's beside herself. Even though landlines are beginning to work again down there, she has still not been able to reach him. And the other thing is that those waters are still in the street and are incubating disease. The mayor of San Juan was in tears and she's on video. It was done with a cell phone. She praised the FEMA people because she said she knows they're good people who want to get to work, but they're being held up because the process that comes down from the top is not happening. And another thing that I'd like to say here too, and I've been on the phone to Washington, to every congressperson and senator in the state of Florida. I've left messages. I'll probably be jailed by this time next month. But
no, you won't.
You'll have a cell next to me.
You don't know what I said on Rubio's machine. But the thing is that it was the day after Maria hit San Juan, it was Hillary Clinton who tweeted out, beseeching the president and the secretary of defense to send the Navy and to send the USSN Comfort, that ship we have for this situation, down to San Juan right away. You know, there might be four military bases on Puerto Rico, but they apparently were not really prepared for this. And the Comfort has status a dock in Norfolk, Virginia. It won't be going underway until tomorrow. And the reason it's going to be going underway down there, and it'll take 7 to 8 days for them to get there, the reason it's going to leave port tomorrow is because Hillary Clinton's been on MSNBC shows through the weekend, and last night was Chris Hayes saying this was the number one or number two thing she would have demanded be done as president right away. And the fire's been going on in Washington. And it's like, you know, here is the person, who, you know, your opponent, who is out there telling you how to do your job, and you're still not doing it, you know. So the Comfort is going to leave for tomorrow morning, I'm understanding now. But
That's what I heard.
That ship should
have been. I don't want people to think that, you know, that Puerto Rico is the only, just because that's the U.S. Territory, because we have, like, Dominica, we've got St. Martin's, so many islands, small islands.
They did get
with
the medical students off the island today. On Dominica, there were approximately 100 American medical students on the island of Dominica. They got them off the island today.
Well, that was good. So, I mean, why couldn't they help there? I mean, St. Martin's is half French and half Dutch, and I had heard that the Dutch whoever's was coming in to help, but it's just about wiped. It's a mess, and I don't know. Dominica, is it does it belong to someone, or is it its own country?
I don't know, but they also have U.S. military there looking for other Americans, non-student.
Well,
these were all students from the medical school, and the school wanted them out because the school got trashed. There's going to be no more classes.
Right, but it seems that to me seems very ironical that they're medical students and people can use medical help, and yet they're taking them out.
Right.
But they're students. They can't work on anybody.
If there's nobody else available, I think they can.
Well, I know, but you see, unfortunately, Ruth Ann, this is the world of legal. Doesn't matter what's right and wrong.
So this is the world as immoral. This is the world we're living in
right now. Well, I firmly kind of feel that legal is immoral.
People understand that, you know, it's not just an island that is affiliated with the U.S. There's others, and
it doesn't matter.
They may be in worse shape, and they really,
it doesn't matter who they're affiliated with. They're people.
Dan, I would suggest that one of the people who could address that from a point of view of being at ground zero in disaster would be Rick. Rick, would you have taken a medical student yourself in the midst of all of that with Andrew?
I think that, you know, people who can help should help. I understand from the voices that I have heard from people who've been down in the islands that the destruction is so complete.
Yeah.
There are no buildings, there is no power, there is no water, there are no supplies.
No, nothing.
That there is a degree of lawlessness and desperation that is really transforming these once lovely oases of the playgrounds of the rich into very much places of desperation. I've spoken with and heard stories from about a half a dozen people who basically said it is almost down to complete desperate living, that people are armed, people are stealing, people are threatening each other, guns are commonplace, and where there is no water and no food and no power, unfortunately, the best do not rise to the top sometimes. And good people, of course, are always needed. But unfortunately, many of these islands aren't going to be habitable as we have known them for years.
No.
Yeah. It is exactly.
Nor will they be safe.
But San Juan, even the mayor of San Juan was, she, on another interview I saw her on, that they actually put up on the site on 60 Minutes, about people trying to steal generators from other people in San Juan and that kind of thing. So it's a case of we really need to get our, you know, we need to have the rescue divisions down there. And people always forget that the U.S. military's biggest job on the planet always has been and always continues to be rescue missions. They do all over the world. It's their biggest job. And they should have been down there. Apparently, nobody knows what the hell
they are there. There's a huge naval base at Roosevelt Roads.
Right.
It's on the northern side of the island.
Yes, but they need more people and more supplies down there. And apparently, nobody knows how to make that happen. And there's no chain of command that is working right. It's like the FEMA people being held up because no one from the top down.
Well, that's because arguing with an NFL player is more important.
That's right.
There you go. There you go.
So, I mean, that's where it lies.
So
these people have no authority to do anything.
Things don't really make that much difference. And I don't know what islands, but I do know that once again, Cuba has sent medical teams, because they always do when there's a disaster around the world. They send doctors, nurses, and other medical people.
Cuba,
so
right.
I think they always do.
Cuba,
Havana
decimated, you know, with
exactly.
Irma. And they have been in great need, and they are also, along with the U.S. Coast Guard, have been helping out with sea rescues that have taken place right after the hurricane. I know that. But Havana and parts of Cuba are in real trouble, too. They're scrambling to get things done. They took big gushes over there of storm surge, which... It's just wow.
The storm surge is almost worse than the storm, because the storm surge does so much damage and sticks around for a bit. That was one of the big problems we had in Biloxi. There was a huge storm surge, and it took out from Highway 90, which is right on the beach, the storm surge took out the first five blocks going inland. It just flattened everything.
Up the east coast of Florida, from, Biscayne Bay up towards, up past West Palm and a bit up here, we have a series of reefs, three series of reefs off our coast, which has always given us sort of some shelter from surge, always. I know that it's... and I know that as growing up down here, but on the West Coast, they have nothing like that. Did you see what happened to Tampa Bay?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
This is something that's always amazed me about Florida. Let's build a 20-story building 6 inches from the edge of a channel in deep water, and oh yes, only make it 6 inches above the water.
Yep.
That's Miami, that's Tampa. You get down around the bay. And I'm going, who thought this was a good idea?
Well, the bay was absolutely drained. There was no water. It was a stunning thing to see. All the water, the surge, that was that tsunami effect, took the water out of
it. Yeah, it pulls it back out.
Oh, my God.
When you see it going out, run.
Politics and everything there. But another thing for this particular holiday is balance, and we talked about the equal days and equal nights, which really, really are not totally equal, but it depends, and Gwen is the astronomer, you probably know what it means, but as I understand, it's when certain things cross at a certain point, and so that doesn't mean we have 12 hours of daylight and 12 hours of darkness. It's very close, but it's not precise always.
It's basically moving into another astrological sign, and as far as equinox has been traditionally observed, no matter where you are, it's like down below right now. What are they celebrating? We're celebrating Mabon or fall equinox, and they're celebrating.
Spring equinox,
we're doing this, sir.
I'm sorry.
So they're just getting ready to do their planting and stuff, and we're having our second harvest. But also, did you know that Durga Puja starts today, a Hindu festival that lasts for 10 days, and the goddess Durga fought off and won, and I can't pronounce the name of the shape-shifting buffalo demon god, but she won. So, like many of the Hindu stories, good overcomes evil, after the struggle. But also, it's a harvest festival for them, too. So, I think everywhere, like in the Northern Hemisphere, this is harvest time, so people are having their own celebrations, whatever they might do for that. I love this time of year, but I say that every season. You guys know that.
Now, think about this. We were talking about, what are they celebrating in the Southern Hemisphere, and it being the spring equinox and the planting. Look how the goddess and the gods arranged for us to have a year-round supply of food.
See? perfect, right? Yeah. Yeah.
You're harvesting one, you're planting a new one. You're going to harvest that one and plant a new one. Constant food source.
Right, and in our, in this time we live in, even though it's not always maybe the most ecologically, the best way, we can still have fruits and veggies from almost anywhere in the world. And some of us live in places where really not a lot of food grows. We wouldn't get very much variety if we stuck with what grows where some of us live. I for one, that's one thing I'm very grateful that I can have certain things. Here in the middle of Illinois, there aren't any bananas growing. Okay, there's no oranges growing. There's, you know, the fruits like apples and, pears, cherries.
Peaches.
You know, peaches. Not like in Georgia, but still peaches.
No.
I love those pecans. Big juicy peaches.
You can't get pecans in Illinois like you can get in Georgia.
Exactly. Hey, but I have a black walnut tree, and for the first time, it has walnuts on it. Two. It's not very old, I guess. I mean, I don't know. Where I grew up, we had one. A big tree, lots of walnuts. But this, they grow in twos, evidently. These two are right by each other. And now they're as big as a tennis ball right now.
Wow.
That's the outside.
That's the outside.
The green part, which will come off and then, you know.
Uh-huh.
But, we do have nut trees around here, though. But I know there's a big walnut tree down at the end of the block. But, I love having, I love harvest time because, and now people are, there's still things left in the garden, depending on what people plant. But from now on, they'll be pulling up the gardens. And people who still
Down here where we live, we can go a lot further into the season than you can up north.
Right. You lived in Indiana,
I'm hearing that they're having like a second season in certain places like New York State and New Jersey and places in Maryland and in Delaware. They're having like almost second seasons of the gardens should have been done, but they're still growing again.
Well, the temperatures have been rather high across.
It's been a crazy season.
It's been a crazy few years.
I don't think we're going to have any of that here.
This was the year Mother Nature was, sometimes yell at a person four or five times and they act like they don't hear you, so you walk up and smack them in the back of the head, and then they pay attention. I think that's Mother Nature has been giving us this whole year. And the reason we got Irma was because we haven't been paying attention.
It's been nuts. I was going barefoot at least once a day in February. I've never been barefoot before May here in Illinois when I've lived here. But this year, it was that warm. So, it's been totally turned upside down. It's interesting. But, this is also good for our growth because we can't get too settled into just like one way of doing things. Like, we've always done it this way because it's always, blah, blah, blah. It's like, it's not that way anymore.
Go back to the garden and look within.
Yes.
The things you don't like within yourself, those are the weeds in our garden that we have to get rid of. You can also plant seeds of something you want to become.
Sure.
Just as we grow our crops every year.
And plant the seeds.
Say what?
Down here, we usually start getting ready for, I guess you'd have to say it's earth season, but a lot of people are usually starting to show up, and we start having a lot of street festivals and art fairs, and that's how I always have seen the seasons turn towards a lot of community stuff happening again. The summers always belong to the natives and the the heat, the sand, and the surf, if you get me. But
I love it. Yeah. Mm.
Now so that's kind of the heart. That's what I think of many times as harvest season, is the festivals and fairs that begin to go. A lot of seafood, and there's really ridiculous things, but there's also, you know, as the holidays come, we do a wonderful thing. We do boat parades, which are really kind of beautiful. But this is the time we do. Rick, am I right? We start doing stuff down here again, right?
That's right. And a month or two, when it starts cooling off, then all the snowbirds will come down and share South Florida with us.
Yeah.
And then it won't store us anymore.
See, in Orlando, it never stops. We've got that 24/7. It's Disneyville.
Only a fool goes to Disney World or Universal or any of the rest of them in summer down here. Made that mistake once. No way.
But there's a lot of stupid people from all over the world that have no idea
what
actual summer weather is.
Yeah. And then
I spent some time in Gothenburg, Sweden,
distant.
And they would not believe me that our surf temperature gets up in the high 80s and possible 90s.
They were going,
that's bath water.
Yeah.
Because to them, their temperature is a nice, brisk 53 degrees.
Yeah.
That's their beach in the summer.
Down here, you have to dive down. We always dive down, especially if you're surfing, you've got diving. You lose your board and you go, all your body goes down further. It's like, oh, here's the cold water.
Yeah, but you got to get down a few feet.
Yeah, but that's not hard to do. We're losing. That's the other thing, too, I think, that Irma really brought to the forefront for many of us coastal towns is the, especially Miami Beach, the rapid disintegration of the beaches and the rise of sea level. It is here.
But does anybody else have any thing that I can say about what they like? Like, another reason why I like autumn is because I like to decorate. And autumn, I mean, it's just all of these things, all the colors, everything. You just bring things in from outside, you know? It's just gorgeous. But
and the smells.
Mm-hmm.
The food.
The food. But I don't burn leaves, but I do like to smell them when people burn them. But, I mean, I burn, you know, like bonfire stuff and all, and I'll throw some sage on there or something. But, I like the whole autumn thing, you know, sitting around. I like bonfires any time of year, but, like, in the summer, it's just too much sometimes.
Well,
so
it's that wonderful time of year when it's not too hot and yet it's not cold, so it's just really comfortable to get out and do a bunch of things and enjoy things without burning up or freezing.
Yeah.
That's called winter in Florida, Sam.
Oh, it is? Okay. I didn't know we had winter.
Yeah, you do, because the foliage is different. When I lived there, it was different. Yeah.
It's the flowers. Like I was going to say, you know, I do, there are times I miss being in the seasonal changes of the north. But I remind myself that we have gardenias to look forward to, a night blooming jasmine, and there's the Florida lobsters you can go out and bob down for, and the shrimp runs, and you know, there's lots of good stuff. And I'll bet you after this storm has come through, you could actually go off the East Coast here and catch stuff and feel good about, you know, consuming
life
again.
Well, I think one of the great things just about life is that wherever we are living, we have, I mean, there's always something we would probably want to change or don't like so much, but there's always wonderful benefits or advantages or something to where we live. So,
yeah.
You know,
I'm convinced.
I mean, I can't complain about that because I've lived in a lot of places and I love something about all of them. I mean, more than one thing. Spaces, but I mean, there's always been something that I really did like. So, I guess our time is going. We're going to have to say goodbyes. So,
I do have a short question for everybody that I think might be a nice positive endpoint. And I'll start from Earth, then go to me, and then to you, Ra, and then to Stan again. the favorite thing about this time of year, where you do live. And for me, at this time of year, well, it's always been that basically that you can start to see at the end of September, as October comes in, there is a change in the weather. It gets more pleasant out, and fishing's better. In Florida, it's about being around the water to me. Of course, there's the glades, too. But I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for what it is here. You, Rick?
I was going to say that my harvest time wish is that because we've been visited with so much nature slamming people's attention, getting their focus, making an impact that was unquestionably powerful, my hope that one of the things that we harvest this year is that we harvest more respect for the planet that we share.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, I agree.
Absolutely.
Well said.
Thank you.
I personally, one of the things that I love most about where I live now in autumn is the cool, cool, wonderful mornings. They're cool. And, you know, I mean, it's been getting up in the 80s and maybe low 90s later in the day, but the mornings are just cool and crispy and wonderful for walking.
Dan?
Well, one of the things I really like about living here in Central Florida is being in the very center, we have some of the most beautiful sunrises and sunsets I've seen in a long time. Now, I know the folks on the coast get some that will just totally blow your mind away. But for being in the middle of the state, it is really neat because we get the East Coast sea breeze and we get the West Coast sea breeze and the clouds coming together. It's just fantastic. And I love being here, especially this time of the year, because we start getting more clouds.
Orange clouds. Yes.
And it just shows me what all the goddess and God can do, because we can't do that. And it just makes me thankful for having it, for being a part of it.
Okay. Yeah, they're definitely full of variety that we could never do. So
we do have to release the watchtowers, and because we have like 5 minutes.
Go ahead. We can just rapidly,
Rick?
Let me say from the earth, we stand upon the earth as it spins through the infinite. Let us thank her for her gifts and promise to share her bounties with the circle and beyond.
Hail and farewell.
Hail and farewell.
Farewell.
Out of the west and into the west, and with the help of Archangel Gabriel, the Undine, the element of water itself, that consciousness that bridges us between worlds. I thank you. I release you. Hail and farewell.
Hail and farewell.
Farewell.
Elements and invisibles of fire, thank you for sharing space with us tonight. Thank you for the attributes such as passion, focus, and on that you give to us. And as you leave, we say hail and farewell.
Hail.
Hail and
farewell.
Farewell.
Goddesses, gods, spirits of the element air, I thank you for being with us this night, sharing the knowledge that you pass on. I thank you for the element that you give us, for it provides us and nurtures us as we grow and as all other creatures on our planet grow. I ask that you be with us in spirit throughout the coming year, throughout the remaining harvest, and into the new year, so that we may continue to grow, not only in mind, body, but in spirit as well. I bid you hail and farewell.
Hail. Farewell.
And farewell.
Gwen and Rick, you want to say goodbye to ancestors and God and Goddess?
Yes, of course.
All the gods. Go ahead, Gwen.
I thank the ancestors for being with us this evening. And as has become sort of traditional here, those who wish to stay with us, I'm very glad that you will be with us. And those who have come just to be a part of our circle and our ceremony tonight, I bless and thank you. So mote it be.
So mote it be.
All the gods and the goddesses, immediate and mediate, we behold them no more outside. We behold them inside in their strength, in their light. Thank them for joining us. Thank them for being with us. They are our strength and our light. So mote it be.
So mote it be.
The circle is open but never broken. As above, so below. As the universe,
as above,
so the soul. As without, so within. Merry meet, merry parts. And merry meet again, y'all. Blessed be.
Merry meet.
Blessed be. Thank you all so much.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you all for letting me be a part of this.
Oh,
it is
always
deeply appreciated.
So everybody enjoy the second harvest, and we'll be back for the final harvest, which is also called Samhain, and it's the new year also, all together.
Yes.
So, wow.
What a party.
Adios.
You know,
adios.
Next time, remember, wear a costume, okay?
We weren't supposed to this time?
Oh,
I got dressed up for nothing?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, we didn't have a chance to put you out there all dressed up.
I wanted to be a furry bear.
Uh-oh.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll talk to you all later.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
I'd like to remind everybody this has been an on-air ceremony, our harvest season, celebrated by Ruthann Lamarche-Bayo, Stan Klein, Rick Spisak, myself, Gwendolyn Berry, and we will see you again, or we will be here again, for Samhain, the expression of the new year. Thank you for listening.